it is the desire of every preacher that his children or grandchildren desire to do God's will. And it's not our job of calling our children into the ministry, but I was so grateful when God spoke to my daughter's heart and burdened her heart about serving God in a full-time way. And then when she fell in love and married a preacher man, a preacher boy, I was certainly thrilled and have been so blessed by their ministry. And then to have a grandson that surrendered to preach the gospel, go off to Bible college and do well in Bible college and in the church there at Bible college as well as his home church, I can't tell you how thrilled I am. And I don't have words to express to tell you what it felt like in my heart when I sat in the congregation and watched Sarah Haynes graduate with honors. To watch Miss Ross, Tracy Ross, one of the young men I led to Christ many, many years ago, his daughter graduate. And got married that Friday night, I believe, married a preacher. And by the way, she graduated with honors. And then to see my grandson graduate, I was so proud and so grateful. Looked over there at the professors, and there was old Mike Gray, Ray, tiptoeing, looking over the rest of them. And one of my own preacher boys from many years ago teaching in that Bible college. And it's such a thrill to see God doing this in lives of people. And I wanted you to hear Kyle preach as an excuse for me to hear him preach tonight. And this will be my first time. I don't know if he can do it or not. He may stand up here and blow it. And he may preach like his daddy. But I'm counting on the fact that he's got his grandmother's genes also. So we'll get out before midnight. Brother Kyle, I'm so proud of you, and I love you so much, son. Come and preach.
Good evening. It's so great to be here tonight. So many memories of this place. Growing up here, having all so many friends and family here. And I can remember the first time I preached here at Trinity back in either 92 or 93. It was in junior church. But I remember preaching with Zach Pollock and Bruce Green way back then. And it was exciting back then. I was nervous then, and I'm nervous now. So I'm excited to get this done. But I believe I have something that God might be able to help you with tonight. If you could turn your Bibles to Romans. Romans in chapter 1. We'll be looking in verse 14. I would think everybody in church tonight, every person here would say they want to accomplish something for Jesus Christ. I would think every person here would want to say that their life made a difference, that they were able to do something that matters for the kingdom, that matters for Jesus Christ. And if we look in the Bible, I think Paul might have been labeled as a Christian who accomplished more for the cause of Christ maybe than anyone else we have on record in the Bible. You know, Paul was an ordinary man like us. It's easy for us to think of Paul as some superhero of the faith. And while he was that, he was an ordinary man with his own problems, his own issues he had to face. He had the same flesh we have. He had so many of the same things that we battle. Yet, there was something he had that so many of us don't. There was something that he had better than so many other people that wanted to serve God, maybe just as much as he did. And I believe if we look here in verse 14, it shows us something that not only did Paul have, but something that Paul was, that shows us in the Bible how God was able to use Paul so mightily. If you look in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul said, right out of his mouth, he said, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." The first thing Paul said, he didn't say, "I have this" or "I want this." Paul said, "I am debtor." Paul said, "I have a debt to repay." And you may be seated. Paul said, "I have a debt to repay." It was a quick text to start. I'll read in a little bit more as the sermon progresses. But the first thing that Paul said was, I am a debtor. Paul acknowledged he had a debt to repay. And I would think every person here in this room would acknowledge we all have had people, have had so many influences, people invest in us. I know myself personally, I've had so many people invest in my life. I have a debt to repay to people. I've had so many people spend hours praying for me, whether it be my mother and my father investing in my life growing it up, whether it be my grandparents praying for me, many people in this church that have invested in me, friends I have, teachers, Sunday school teachers, youth pastors, so many people, if I think of the hours and hours of time that have invested in my life, I have a debt to repay. And every person here, maybe to parents, maybe to youth pastors, maybe to different people all over the world, you have a debt to repay. And Paul said, first thing, he had a debt to others, just like we all have a debt to repay. The second thing Paul said is he had a debt to the lost. He says, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. My friends, we have something tonight that God has given us in the gospel that is so amazing. We have a debt to give that. If we had a cure for cancer, if we had a cure for some terrible disease today, and we didn't get out and give that to the lost, that would be a crying shame. And we have something that's so worse, so much better than that in the gospel. The Bible says that we got to realize we have a debt to repay to the people, to the lost. Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Not only did he have a debt to people that invested in him, but Paul had a debt to the lost. He had a debt to those people in the world that don't have the gospel, that don't have Jesus Christ in their life. I try to think about growing up without Jesus Christ to lean on, without him taking me to heaven, without him to go to when I have problems. And I can't imagine what I would do without Jesus Christ in my life, comforting me, giving me strength, giving me direction. I have a debt to get out and to tell the lost, the Greeks, the barbarians, as Paul said here, what Jesus Christ has done for me and about the gospel. And third, we have a debt greater than any of the others. We have a debt to Jesus Christ. And Paul saw this. And I think it's so easy for us to forget the debt that we owe to Jesus Christ. We have a debt. This is a debt greater than any credit card debt you might know to some company. This is a debt greater than any debt to any other person. We have a debt to repay to Jesus Christ. I think it's far too easy for us to forget that Jesus Christ was God and he loved us so much that he came down and when he died on the cross for us, he created a debt that there's no possible way we can ever repay this debt. It's a debt, and we've got to remember in our lives what Jesus Christ has done for us. Remember that this isn't something that's just something God threw in to be nice. This is something that God gave us in a gift of his Son. That's a debt that we can never fully repay. I've got to remember that I have a debt to repay. We all do. I cannot fall into sin. I have a debt to repay. I can't afford to live a lukewarm Christian life. I have a debt to repay. I can't afford to get offended over petty offenses, over the little hurts that happen in our lives, and to spin out and to be a flash in the pan Christian. Why? Because I have a debt to repay. Tonight, we've got to realize, just like Paul realized, we have a debt to repay. We've got a debt to others. We've got a debt to the lost, and we have a debt to Jesus Christ. We must not forget that debt. We must not forget the debt, and Paul didn't do that. The second thing Paul said here in verse 16, or verse 15 here, he said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul said, I am ready. To be ready means to be prepared, to be committed, to be leaning in. Paul said, I am ready. Not only did he realize that he had a debt to repay, but Paul said he was ready to do something about it. He was prepared. And God has something in each of our lives that he wants us to do. God has things he wants all of us to do in walking with him and soul winning and being a good Christian. And he has maybe something specific in our lives that he has us, a plan for our lives. We've got to not only realize that we have a debt to repay, but we've got to realize and we've got to decide, just like Paul did, that we're going to be ready. Paul says in Romans 9:3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, the kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, it's easy to just read across that. What Paul is saying there, Paul is talking about his Jews and his great love for the people of Israel and the Jews. And in that verse, we see a readiness, a committedness from Paul that's so much greater than anything any of us have, so many of us experience. The Bible says, Paul said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Paul said, I could wish that myself could go to hell, to be accursed from Christ if my brethren, the Jews, would be saved. That's a committedness. That's a readiness. That's something acknowledging the debt that he had. And that's Paul saying that he was ready to do what it took to serve Jesus Christ. And I don't think God has asked anyone here to make that kind of a sacrifice. I don't think God has asked any of us to offer ourselves to go to hell so that someone else might be saved. All he wants us to do is tell him about him. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ has made that debt and that Paul was ready to fulfill that debt. He was ready. You know, there were people in the Bible that weren't ready. Jonah wasn't ready. Jonah was a man, the Bible says, that when he got the command to go and preach to Nineveh, he was thinking about how that would affect his family. He was thinking about how that would affect him and his life, and if Nineveh was not destroyed by God, how that would affect Israel. And he wasn't ready to make that commitment. He wasn't ready to obey God. I believe he wanted to obey God. I believe he loved God. He was a prophet of God. But as we see in the story of Jonah, he wasn't ready. He wasn't committed. He wasn't leaning in. When it came down to it, when there was something actually a sacrifice to be made, we see that Jonah couldn't, he wasn't ready. You know, there's a story told of a little boy on a mission field who was asked to give some blood for his friend who was injured. There had been a situation come up, and the little boy's blood type matched. They couldn't find it for anyone else, and the doctors and nurses came to this little boy, and they asked him if he'd be willing to give his blood for his friend, and he said, "Yes, I'll do that." And the story goes that he was there prepping him, getting ready for that. He was laying on the table, and they had the needle in his arm, and they're fixing to pull the button. He started crying a little bit, and the nurse came over to him. She said, "Does it hurt?" He said, "No, it doesn't really hurt." And she said, "Well, what's the matter? Why are you crying?" And the little boy looks up at the nurse, and he said, "How long until I die?" And the nurse said, "What? What are you talking about?" And he said, "How long until I die? If I'm giving him all of my blood, there's no way I can live. How long until I die?" And the nurse said, reassured him, said, "No, you're only giving him a little bit of your blood. He said, not all of your blood." But just in a little simple story like that, we see he was ready. That boy was committed. He was ready to do what it took to serve his friend, to love his friend. He was ready. And the Bible shows us that just like Paul was ready, we have to be ready. We have to be ready to do what's right, to do what God asks us to do. The Bible shows us that Paul was a debtor. The Bible shows us that Paul was ready. The Bible also shows us here in verse number 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Paul said, "I am not ashamed." You see, an acknowledgement of the debt that we have, and even a preparation and a readiness to serve Christ isn't enough if we can't take a stand. The Bible tells us that Paul said, "You know what? I have a debt to repay. I am a debtor. And I'm ready to repay that debt." And we see the third point. Paul said, "I am not ashamed." The Bible says in Peter, number 22 and verse 33, we have the disciples. And Peter here is talking to Christ. In Luke 22, 30, Peter is talking to the Lord. And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." Peter, all gung-ho, says, "God, I'm ready to go with you anywhere." He said it right there, "I'm ready. I'm ready." And the Bible says Jesus told him, and he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny that thou knowest me." The Bible tells us Peter thought he was ready. Peter wanted to be ready. He told God, "I'm ready to go with you, even to prison and to death." But when it came down to it, when it came down to standing up that night, the Bible shows us that Peter wasn't ready, that he was willing to deny Christ. He was ashamed. He couldn't take a stand. You know, not only was Peter not ready there, but it's great for all of us to know if we've had times that we failed, if we have times that we didn't do the right thing, and we can, even if we have a pattern of not being able to stand for Jesus Christ, it wasn't how Peter ended. If we look in Acts chapter 5, Peter and the apostles were arrested and commanded not to preach. And in verse 29, they were commanded not to preach, thrown in prison, told never to preach in Jesus' name again. And 29, they replied, "We ought to obey God rather than men." The Bible tells us that Peter figured it out. He wasn't ashamed of Jesus Christ. And he decided that he was going to be ready. He had a debt, and he was not going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 36, the Bible shows us so many people that suffered the ultimate sacrifice because they were not ashamed. The Bible says here in Hebrews 11, verse 36, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should be made perfect." That's an illustration of so many people before us that were not ashamed of Jesus Christ. So many people that stood up and were not ashamed to stand up for Jesus Christ. And I think it's such a shame that even myself in my life and many times and different people, I think it's so easy for us to want to do something for God, to realize that we have a debt to repay, and to want to be ready, but at the last minute to not make the stand that we have to make and be ashamed of Jesus Christ. I think of so many people, just like it says in this Bible, that have gone before us and that have paid the ultimate sacrifice. I think of the Waldensians over in the valleys in Italy, of Ingrania, the Waldensian missionaries and the people that lived there right before the Reformation. I think of the so many people that paid the ultimate sacrifice. I think of one specific story of a family, of Waldensian family that was living in those valleys. And one night, Roman soldiers came to their door, and they banged on the door, and the children were sleeping, and the family was sitting there. And the soldier comes in, and they bang on the door, and they wake them up in the middle of the night. The family's scared, and they take these people, and they drag them out of their homes. They drag them up to the top of a mountain called the Castelluzzo, a huge cliff looking over. You can see it wherever you are in the valley. You can see this massive cliff. And they drag them up to the top of the mountain. The children are frightened, and they don't know what's going on. These people have drugged them out of their home, and this soldier looks at that wife and looks at that man, and he tells them, "Deny Christ." He looks at them, and he says, "Deny Christ, and you can go to your home." And the man says, "I'm not going to do it." And the soldier gets in his face and he says, "Deny Christ and I'll take you home. Deny Christ, nothing will happen." He tells him, "Just recant of the heresies that you believe in the Bible." And record history shows us so many times that these people would stand up there and they would stand true and they would not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And so many times that soldier would go over and he would take one of that man's children and he would take them and he would grab them and pick them up and hold them out on the edge of that cliff. And history tells us so many times that he would take and he would look at that man and he would say, "Deny Christ." He would say, "Deny Christ, recant, and I'll take your little girl." And history tells us that that man would look into that little girl's eyes who he'd loved so much, the little girl's eyes that he had grown up, his little honey, the person he had grown up with and loved so much, raised her, and he would look into his eyes, and that little girl so many times would look back at that man being held out over the edge of a cliff, would look back at her daddy and say, "Don't do it, daddy." She would look back at her daddy and say, "Think of what Jesus has done for you." And so many times he would say, "Deny Christ," and the husband in tears would say, "I won't do it." And they would take that little girl and he would throw her off of that cliff. And she would fall to her death, and in tears the man would stand there. And he would go down the line taking those children and throwing them off the cliff and doing unbelievable things, brutalizing and hurting these people, all because they wouldn't deny Christ. All these amazing things that they went through, the terrible things, unspeakable things that they went through. And all they had to do was deny Jesus Christ, to recant, not to stand up for the things that they believed in. And so many times we see these people that paid the ultimate sacrifice. This was so much more than going out and talking to someone about Jesus Christ. This is so much more. And it was so little the things they were asked to do to deny Christ. Yet we see so many times over and over again too many stories to tell of people who gave the ultimate sacrifice, who paid the ultimate sacrifice and loved God even to the death and were not ashamed of Jesus Christ. So many people that decided they weren't just going to acknowledge the debt that they had. They weren't going to just try to be ready, but they were going to take a stand and say they weren't going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the person that stands at the judgment seat of Christ that day and has to stand behind that Waldensian lady and listen to her tell the Lord how much she loves him and listen to her tell the Lord that she tried to do her best to serve him and that she had her problems and her sins, but she did her best. And look at him, look her in the eyes and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," and then have to step up and him fix his gaze on me and me knowing all of the times that I didn't do what I was supposed to do and all of the times that I did what I wanted to do with my life and that I wouldn't stand up for Jesus Christ and that I was worried about what other people would think of me or what the people at my workplace or my school or my church or anywhere were thinking about what I was doing. And I don't want him to fix his gaze upon me and say, "What's your story?" Amen. Right behind this Waldensian lady, they gave everything for Jesus Christ. I don't want that to be me. And the beautiful thing is tonight that it doesn't have to be. We have an opportunity tonight. We have an opportunity to make a difference. We have an opportunity to go tomorrow and live different than we live today, to live different than we've lived in the past, and to decide that we are not going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. I read a story in Fox News a little while ago about a lady named Irina Sendler, a Polish lady that lived in Warsaw, Poland. She actually passed away 3.5 weeks ago. And she was a 90-year-old, passed away at the age of 98. She was a woman credited with saving 2,500 Jewish children during the Holocaust. She was nominated just recently for the Nobel Peace Prize. Sendler was cited for organizing the rescue of the most defenseless victim of the Nazi ideology, it says here, the Jewish children. Sendler led about 20 helpers who smuggled Jewish children out of the Warsaw ghetto to safety between 1940 and 1943, placing them in Polish families or convents and orphanages. She wrote the children's names on slips of paper and buried them in jars in the neighbor's yard as a record that could help locate their parents after the war. The Nazis arrested her in 1943, but she refused, despite repeated torture, to reveal their names. An amazing lady that did an amazing thing to help the Jewish children, Jewish people during the Holocaust. Amazing things she did. And we see here that the Nazis became aware of her activities. On October 20th, 1943, she was arrested and imprisoned and tortured by the Gestapo, who broke her feet and legs. She ended up in the Pawiak prison, but no one could break her spirit. Though she was the only one who knew the names and the addresses of these families sheltering the Jewish children, she withstood the torture, refusing to betray either her associates or any of the children in hiding. Sentenced to death, she was saved at the last minute when the Zagota members bribed one of the Germans to halt the execution. She escaped from prison, but for the rest of the war, she was pursued by the Gestapo. After the war, she dug up the jars and used the notes to track down the 2,500 children she placed with adoptive families and reunited them with relatives scattered all across Europe. Most of them lost their families during the Holocaust. And we think of this amazing woman who did this amazing thing. And she did this, doesn't say she did this, not necessarily for God, for Jesus Christ. She did this to help children. And she was quoted, and when they gave her the honor and honored her, she said she didn't think of herself as a hero. She says, Every child saved with my help and the help of all the wonderful secret messengers who today are no longer living. She said, "It's the justification of my existence on earth and not a title to glory." She wasn't looking for all this fame. She was a person that, not even for a cause as great as the one we have, just for a cause of helping children during the Holocaust, an amazing thing, saving lives, she realized that she was ready and she was committed and she took a stand. It's amazing what she said. She claimed no credit for her actions. She said, "I could have done more." She said, "This regret will follow me to my death." Someone who saved 2,500 children, was tortured, was imprisoned, went through all that, and she said, "I could have done more." And I think how many of us, when it comes down to it, and our life has been spent, and we look back on what we've done, how many of us would have that say, "I could have done more. I could have done more for Jesus Christ," and I think this regret will follow us to our death, many of us. But it's not too late. It's not too late to do right. One person said, speaking of the Waldensian massacre that I told you about and all the different atrocities that happened there, he said, "If the tyrants of all times and ages were alive again, they would doubtless be ashamed to find that nothing barbarous nor inhuman in comparison of these deeds had ever been invented by them. In the meantime," he continued, "the angels are stricken with horror. Men are dizzy with amazement. Heaven itself appears astonished with the cries of the dying, and the very earth to blush with the gore of so many innocent persons. Avenge not thyself, O God, for this mighty wickedness, this parricidal slaughter. Let thy blood, O Christ, wash out this blood." So many people that went before us that paid the ultimate sacrifice. So many people that went before us and weren't afraid to stand up for Jesus Christ, that saw that they had a debt to repay, and that were ready to repay that debt and decided that they were going to do something about it. And in each of our lives tonight, we have an opportunity to leave tonight and to realize that we have so many people that have invested in us. We have so many people that have invested time and prayers and love and teaching and money and so many things in our lives. We have a debt to repay every person here. And we have a debt to the lost, and we have a debt to Jesus Christ who's done so much for us. We must leave and determine that no matter what we did today, no matter what we did last week, no matter what people think we are, what they think we're going to do, that we have a decision how we're going to live tomorrow. We have a decision how we're going to live the rest of our life. And we must decide to learn from Paul, who said that he was a debtor, that he was ready, and that he was unashamed. We must realize, with the help of God, I am a debtor. With the help of God, I am going to be ready. And by God's grace, I want to be unashamed. And we each have that choice tonight. What will you be? If everyone here could bow their heads and close their eyes.